I'll be back with John DiNardo after the break. This is the Morning Liberty Program at RBN. Good morning. It is Tuesday. We are back. This is the Morning Liberty Program. I'm RJ. John DiNardo, how are you?
Hi, RJ. It's a pleasure being with you and your audience.
Thanks for joining us again. It's been a little while since we have come together.
Yes. Too long.
I agree. There are many things I know you have been paying attention to. One of the things that has been catching our attention, it was Sunday a couple weeks ago, I got a phone call from a listener in Arkansas, and he was talking about the birds that are dropping out of the sky and the fish that were dying off in the streams and the rivers near Beebe there in Arkansas. I think he was also mentioning something about the New Madrid Fault. And I hear that you've got more evidence. Apparently around the world, all kinds of animals are dropping dead. And I'm thinking you may have some answers about these things.
Well, yes. First of all, the proliferation of dead animals, birds and buffalo, fish, a variety of different kinds of animals that have been dying around the world. There are reports of this in the mainstream news of a bird and fish deaths in Italy, in Sweden, in India, in China, in Brazil. It's so widespread around the globe. At first, I thought maybe these were government operations where they release toxins into the environment. But when I see now that the evidence that these deaths are existing around the world, then I begin to wonder that it's something, it has to be something that's on a geological scale. And we're still not sure yet. I think very few of us, except perhaps people high up in the government, have any real evidence or sound conclusions as to the cause of these deaths. But I'm beginning to suspect that it's changes in the earth due to we know about the approach of Planet X, and we know that there will be changes in the geological structure of the Earth and in the Earth's magnetic field as a result of this. We're seeing now drastic changes in the Earth's magnetic field. I just read a report that came from, I believe it was the government's own data, and somebody put it together with the natural drift in the Earth's magnetic field, magnetic north and magnetic south poles have shifted. They normally shift slightly over the decades, but there has been a drastic increase in the shift of the position of the north and south poles over the last 50 years. And that coincides with drastic increases in earthquake activity and increases in volcanic activity.
In the last few weeks, seismic equipment have just been going off all over the place. It's like every country around the world has been getting all kinds of quake activity.
Yes, it is. It's very troubling to see this happening. We knew it was going to happen. You know, we talked about it. Many of us have presented the data to as many people as we could for many years, and of course people were consumed with all the other difficulties and problems with the New World Order, and they were not too concerned because that's how people are. They don't really
just try to
wait until it happens
with mainstream people about Planet X or about HAARP technology. Just try, and still we're being laughed at to our faces.
You're right, and you know a lot of it has to do with the names that are assigned to these. I guess maybe that's not the main reason, but when they hear a term like Planet X, it has a science fiction aura to it. And if people hear that term and immediately their prejudicial attitude makes them believe that this person is dreaming, a person is not speaking reality because he's mentioning a term like that sounds like a science fiction movie. But in fact, the entire astronomical community around the world. Astronomers and astrophysicists have given the name Planet X to this mystery object ever since 1900, when the great astronomer Percival Lowell built the observatory in the Lowell Observatory in Arizona, specifically dedicated to finding this mystery object that was pulling at, plucking gravitationally at the outer orbits of the outer planets Uranus and Neptune. Those are large planets, and it would take a tremendous gravitational force to pull those planets out of their orbit at one particular point, one repeating particular point in their orbits. So all astronomers immediately realized that there must be some huge, some massive celestial body out there beyond the outer bounds of our solar system that is plucking at these outer planets. They knew that it was, there was no doubt about it at all. And in fact, they did the mathematical calculations and were able to calculate the approximate size and position of this planet.
I recall in our conversations previously that we've talked about somebody pulling at your elbow, and you can feel somebody pulling at your elbow, and the scientists have been noticing the evidence of a pull like that upon the Earth.
Going back 200 years ago, this planet, this brown dwarf star, which is now what they believe it is, was so far out, it was several billion miles out, at least, from the outer planets, and that's why it was perturbing the outer planets, but it was having no effect on the inner planets, such as Mars, Earth, Venus, and Mercury. But now it has come into our solar system. We see evidence of it from the electrical discharges, the plasma discharging from the outer solar system to the sun over the last 7 or 8 years. That indicates that this planet, a huge brown dwarf star, has now entered our solar system and now is beginning to cause a tilting of the planet. Now, I'm beginning to see the first signs of the Earth beginning to wobble. Just visualize Earth as a spinning top, you know, a child's top is like a gyroscope. As long as it's spinning rapidly, it remains erect. But once it slowed down, the child takes the palm of his hand and grazes the side of the spinning top so as to slow down its rotational speed, then this top begins to wobble. And as it progressively gets, as it decelerates, it begins to wobble even more until eventually it topples, vertically topples over. And that's precisely what would happen to planet Earth if there were some force like a giant invisible hand that would slow down Earth's rotation. Well, there's in physics for centuries, physicists have used the term action at a distance to describe magnetic forces or gravitational forces that can be exerted from one object to another without any physical contact, such as magnets. If you take a magnet and lay it on a table next to a steel ball bearing, you can get that ball bearing to roll toward the magnet, to be pulled toward the magnet simply without any contact at all. That's what's called action at a distance. That's what seems to be happening with planet Earth right now. I was speaking to a friend of mine. He's a retired pilot, Air Force pilot, and he was saying that he's looking at the horizon and seeing that the sun is not rising and setting in the same spots that it has been at particular points of the year. You know, you can expect the sun and to rise and set, for example, on June 21st at the same point over out your bedroom window. If you look out there toward the east, and it may, for example, be rising right over the point of your neighbor's house on June 21st. And it should rise at that same point every single year without any deviation.
Like it has been for decades and decades. You know, we come to, you know, trust in, you know, where the sun comes up and where the sun goes down, you know, and life goes on. And we all live happily ever after.
That's right. And if when you look out your window and see that the sun is not rising in the same, it's moved a little bit. And I'm getting this testimony from people in Utah, people from, in fact, there are the Inuit Eskimo tribe in Alaska. Now they are, you know, people that are close to the land, and they have a horizon that you could see that's pretty much bare. So they're able to.
It was fun when I lived in Alaska. The horizon looks completely different there than down here in the lower 48.
Oh, tell me about it. You mean it's like, is it, what are the differences in the characteristics of the horizon up in Alaska?
Is it, well, you know, this summer the sun is different. You know, it's up longer, and in the winters, the sun is down longer, and the sharp edge of the horizon is just very different, I've found, than it is here in the lower 48. So, you're mentioning the Inuit, what they see. And what they're experiencing is different than many of us down here in the lower 48.
Right, and I gather from what you're saying about the distinctness of the horizon up and around Alaska, and I gather that the Inuit would be able to much more easily, much more distinctly detect deviations in the sun's point horizon, rising point and setting point because of that distinctness of the horizon in Alaska. And that's what they're saying. They're saying they're very concerned because it's not rising and setting in the same places as it used to.
And I think many of us, we are so preoccupied with other things. This is stuff we may not notice anyway.
That's right.
It's 19 minutes after, John. We'll be right back. This
okay.
is the Morning Liberty Program right here at RBN. I know that many people that we are around are talking about this wonderful Super Bowl here in a couple of weeks with Green Bay and Pittsburgh. I hear that tickets to that football game are going already for $1,000 a ticket, and I'm thinking I won't be going to the game, and pretty much I won't be having that discussion with the friends in the office. And yet if you bring up this discussion about Planet X, you know, people roll their eyes and laugh at us, and yet we need to have this kind of a discussion with people that we know. And sometimes for me, I found it's not so much that it's my job to persuade everybody. It's just my job to plant some seeds and let people make up their own mind. And I appreciate John DiNardo. You're involved in this. I mean, much of your life is involved in this thing right now, paying attention to what's happening regarding the pole shift that may be coming, and Planet X and all of those things, John?
Yes, I'm dedicated to this. I feel that I was led spiritually by God to pursue this and to warn people about the coming disasters, because there is clearly a connection between the traumas that are afflicting Earth at this time and God's promised punishment of humankind for ignoring him.
I think that sometimes we walk around and act as if there is no connection between us and the earth. But I think that down in our souls of who we are very connected to the earth. And what is happening here, as the earth goes round and round, and we think that we can count on the sun coming up and going down, and the weather patterns being the same, right, for spring and summer and fall and winter, and yet it's having an impact on who we are and down deep in our bones, and yet we may try to deny it. I'm thinking that the weather patterns that are happening this year are being shaped and molded as well by these planetary changes.
Oh, definitely. The first signs of the devastation that comes upon Earth as this massive brown dwarf star approaches the sun is meteorological changes. If you read Zechariah Sitchin, the great archaeologist, and academician,
you know,
who is recognized,
research, but I don't agree with all of his conclusions.
Oh, I don't either.
Some nice work.
Exactly. You have to pick out the truth and separate it from the myth. The myth is that there are aliens that are our gods that are coming back, you know, and that's clearly a myth. These aliens, I have my own beliefs about this. From what I understand from the scriptures, they're spirits, fallen angels, according to what Jesus tells us in the book of Revelation, and also in the Old Testament, that these fallen angels came back in the past, in the book of Genesis, or prior to the Great Flood, and they are coming back again, as described in the book of Revelation. And that's what these aliens really are. Incidentally, you know, it's very important that people go to NBC.com on the internet and look at the reruns of this ongoing series called The Event, which I believe it's clear to me that it's being presented to get people accustomed to the idea of aliens coming to dominate us, powerful aliens who are the whole theme that I'm gathering from this series called The Event on NBC.com, NBC TV, is that these aliens are wonderful, loving people, and they are more powerful than us. They're just like us, except, you know, a little bit more powerful. But don't try to rebel against them, because they can destroy you. They have great supernatural powers. So that's the whole theme, is embrace them, because if you don't, you will be destroyed. It goes back to the old New World Order threat.
You know,
it is futile to resist.
Do what the wife says or you'll be destroyed.
Right. It is futile. Surrender. It is futile to resist. And that's what the New World Order tries to use to intimidate people into surrendering to their tyranny. And this is exactly what the theme of this series is. Now, Zechariah Sitchin promotes that in his book. He passed away recently. But some of the great truths of the book are that there is a huge celestial body that comes in to this solar system every 36 and a half centuries, like clockwork. Now, people don't understand how that could be so coincidental, so regular and predictable, until they understand celestial mechanics. Gravitational pull becomes tremendous when the mass of two bodies are very great. The mass of this brown dwarf star, a brown dwarf star by definition, the smallest brown dwarf star, is about 3 Jupiter masses. Now, 1 Jupiter mass is 318 Earth masses, okay? So 318 Earths equal 1 Jupiter, and 3 Jupiters equal a puny brown dwarf star. So we're talking about a brown dwarf star that conservatively estimated to have a mass of about 1,000 or more Earth masses. As a result, its gravitational pull is tremendous, but the Sun has 1/3 of a million Earth masses, so the Sun is really sucking this thing in gravitationally like a magnet.
There's the music. We'll continue after the break here, John. This is the Morning Liberty Program at RBN. It's kind of interesting. Here we are now, 1 month after Christmas, right? 25th of January. Good morning. Thanks for tuning in. John DiNardo is my guest today, and we're talking about Planet X and its implications, what it's doing with our Earth already. Again, John, thanks for joining us.
Well, you're welcome, RJ. You know, it's such a well-known gravity. The force of gravity is the most well-known force in all of humankind. All of us experience gravity every day. And we all know that if you hold a rock out at arm's length and release it, that rock must fall to the ground, because you have the mass of the rock being attracted to the immense mass of planet Earth itself. So the force of gravity then will also act on celestial bodies. However, that force is greatly magnified because of the increased mass, the tremendous mass of these celestial bodies. It's not like dropping a rock. It's like two huge celestial bodies being pulled together with incredible force.
So you're saying that this Planet X is about 3 times the size of Jupiter?
Yes, and that would be a conservative estimation, because all the scientists will tell you, NASA scientists, before they were muzzled back in 1983, they reported to the New York Times and to the Washington Post, the two largest newspapers in the United States, that they were searching for this massive object and they believed that it was a brown dwarf star in both the New York Times and in the Washington Post. In the New York Times, this very lengthy erudite scholarly article was published from NASA through the New York Times on January 30th, 1983, prior to the launch of the infrared astronomical satellite. Now, this satellite was dedicated, according to this article, let me read just the beginning of the article so you can get an understanding of the actual testimony from the United States government as to the existence of this massive brown dwarf star in the New York Times article, and as to the discovery 12 months later or 11 months later in December 30th of that same year, 1983, after the infrared astronomical satellite had been launched specifically to detect this massive celestial body in the outer bounds of our solar system. It had accomplished its mission, it had discovered the body, and in the Washington Post, December 30th, 1983, the article reads, front page, I've got it in front of me, I photocopied the actual article from the library, scanned it into my computer, and emailed it to many people who now have put these two articles up on their websites, one from the New York Times.
This is stuff people need to see. Go ahead.
And right, and I can email them to you, or I can show you, send you the link.
Oh, yeah, feel free to email them. I'd be happy to share it.
Okay. Washington Post, December 30th, 1983. Headline, front page headline, mystery heavenly body discovered, possibly as large as Jupiter. That's an underestimation, possibly as large. They had to underestimate because they didn't want to panic the public. The article was written by Thomas O'Toole, Washington Post staff writer. Quote, a heavenly body, possibly as large as the giant planet Jupiter, and possibly so close to Earth that it would be part of this solar system, has been found in the direction of the constellation Orion by an orbiting telescope aboard the U.S. infrared astronomical satellite. So mysterious is the object that astronomers do not know if it is a planet, a giant comet, a nearby protostar. Incidentally, a protostar is a brown dwarf star. Protostar that never got hot enough to become a star, a distant galaxy, etc. They don't know what it is, but they'll go on to say that it's probably a brown dwarf star, which is a protostar. That's a baby star that never got big enough to become an adult star. So therefore, it doesn't glow as hotly and brightly. It still glows a little bit in the infrared spectrum. Just to quote a little bit more, quote, all I can tell you is that we don't know what it is, Dr. Jerry Neugebauer, infrared astronomical satellite chief scientist for California's Jet Propulsion Laboratory and director of the Palomar Observatory for the California Institute of Technology, said in an interview, the most fascinating explanation of the mystery body, which is so cold it casts no light and has never been seen by optical telescopes on Earth or in space, is that it is a giant gaseous planet as large as Jupiter and as close to Earth as 50 billion miles. While that may seem like a great distance in Earth-bound terms, it is a stone's throw in cosmological terms, so close, in fact, that it would be the nearest heavenly body to Earth beyond the outermost planet, Pluto. And I'm just going to read one other thing, too. This is very telling. In that same article, when IRAS, that's your infrared astronomical satellite, IRAS scientists first saw the mystery body and calculated that it could be as close as 50 billion miles, there was some speculation that it might be moving toward Earth. That is chilling. Now, this is what Jerry Neugebauer said, the chief scientist with the Infrared Astronomical Satellite Project. Now, remember, this guy's a politician. If he were to alarm the public, you know what that would do to the stock market, the economy? It would cause panic. The power elite would lose control. This guy is the politician at the top, and he's been told to downplay this. Okay, so there's reporting.
And what's, are you talking about Thomas O'Toole?
Oh, no. There were Jerry Neugebauer. Jerry Neugebauer was the, let me just give you his title again. Dr. Jerry Neugebauer, Infrared Astronomical Satellite Chief Scientist for California's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, and he's also a director of the Palomar Observatory for the California Institute of Technology. He said, when, you know, trying to allay the fears of astronomers who are saying, hey, this thing is so big, it's probably getting sucked into the sun. I mean, they know, astronomers know how celestial mechanics work. Astrophysicists know how celestial mechanics work. They know that if you drop a rock, you know, it's going to fall toward the Earth. Likewise, they know that if there's a massive celestial body as big as Jupiter out there, it's going to be gravitationally sucked in by the sun, just like dropping a rock to the Earth, because the sun has a mass of about 1/3 of a million Earth masses. So that sun is going to make that, makes that little, that planet X brown dwarf star look like a, looks like a little pebble. However, so it's going to be sucking it in just like a magnet would suck in a ball bearing. When you lay it on the table and put the magnet up close to the ball bearing, it pulls it right in there. So they scientists were worried about that. Now, Jerry Neugebauer, being a politician, and he's at head of the project, he wants to keep his job, and he doesn't want to be, you know, he has to answer to the politicians and the power elite, who the National Security Agency, who actually overrules all of these space agencies. He wants to keep them from panicking, so he quote says, quote, in response to this astrophysicist's belief that this thing is going to be sucked in toward the sun, he says, it's not incoming mail, Caltech's Neugebauer said. I want to douse that idea with as much cold water as I can. You see, there's an old saying, methinks the lady doth protest too much, from Shakespeare. So there you go. It's not, you know, like President Nixon said a long time ago regarding when they were ousting him from office because he went against the CIA. He said it's not the crime that incriminates them. It's the cover-up.
You know, as far as laws of physics, you can stand on the top of a skyscraper and you can drop a rock and it picks up speed as it heads towards the ground. Okay, so there are laws of physics that you just cannot get away from, and I think there are laws of physics that are very much outside of the box. Okay, but here's, I mean, here's this huge, whatever it is, dwarf star planet, and you know, there's all kinds of posturing whether or not there may be intelligent life upon it, and you know, you take a look at, for example, the planets that go around the sun, right? And you have to wonder, is this as well a planet that goes around the sun, you know?
Right.
There's all kinds of points that, is this a part of our solar system, you know? There's just all kinds of pieces of this puzzle that many of us just have no idea about.
Exactly. Now, visualize a racetrack, you know, like a high school racetrack, or you're, you know, where you're in the stands and you're looking at the entire track from above in the stands. You see various tracks within tracks, okay? It's concentrically laid out tracks where the runners closer to the center and then increasingly on paths further away from the center. And you have a number of runners circling this track. And at the center was a large mass, we'll say that represents the sun. As long as the runners stay on their track, everything's okay. They're not going to be banging into one another because they stay in their own lanes. Now, you take some bystander from the stands who wants to get into the act, and he comes racing from the stands right through the center of that track, sometimes missing, sometimes hitting runners on the various tracks surrounding the center. He's racing right toward the center. He's going to upset everybody. That's what this Planet X is, the brown dwarf star. If it were rotating, if it had its own track farthest out from all the others, the most distant, largest encircling track, it would be fine. It would be no problem at all.
So from what you're saying, if this were a runner on our track, you'd probably be a big runner, a big guy.
bigger than every single runner. He's a huge guy. He's bigger than every single runner on that track. And Jupiter is the biggest.
Have scientists been able to determine how fast this planet may be moving?
You know, they certainly do. They haven't been telling us because this is the most fearsomely kept secret by the government. It's more coveted, more cloaked, and there's greater concern about this secret getting out than any other secret you can imagine.
See, you piqued the sportsman side of me. I used to be a wrestler, and I enjoy a football game, I have to say. But now you've declared this as a racetrack. And so I'm thinking, oh, my word, okay, how fast does this thing go?
Well, they certainly know because they've been tracking it with the space telescopes and also the South Pole telescope, which cost them millions of dollars in the most harsh environment you can imagine. Right at the South Pole, you can't even exist down there. But they spent billions of dollars to erect the South Pole telescope, which was completed in the year 2007, specifically because they needed to see this thing coming in from below the soles of the foot of planet Earth, the soles of the feet of planet Earth. Planet Earth is like a big fat man. If he looks down to try to see his feet, he can't see them because his belly is blocking his view. So he'd have to do bend down and look down at his feet. Well, that's likewise. In order to see this planet, it's coming in below the soles of the feet of planet Earth. And in order to see it, you have to position telescopes very close to the South Pole. And that's why they built the South Pole telescope in the harshest environment imaginable, because they needed to view it. Now, speaking of velocity, they know how fast it's coming in, but I can tell you one thing. We don't have to know how fast it's coming, because by the universal law of gravitation, which Sir Isaac Newton formulated several centuries ago, he was one of the greatest geniuses of all time, Sir Isaac Newton, and he formulated the universal law of gravitation, which states that the gravitational force, this is a force of attraction between two bodies, is directly proportional to the mass of body A multiplied times body B, but inversely proportional to the distance between them. So, in other words, as the greater the mass, the greater the gravitational force between the two bodies. However, the closer the distance, not the greater the distance, but the closer they get, the greater the gravitational force of attraction. And not only does that force increase in a linear way, it's even worse than that, even more chilling than that. The gravitational force of attraction between two bodies increases exponentially as they get closer together. It increases far more. The gravitational force of attraction increases far more than you would expect as the distance between them decreases. So that means that the force of attraction is increasing at a mind-boggling rate between planet X and the Sun. Now, by Sir Isaac Newton's second law of motion, the acceleration of a body is directly proportional to the force applied to the body and inversely proportional to the mass of that body. Well, the mass is not changing, it's staying constant, but the force on planet X is increasing. So the acceleration, by Newton's second law, likewise increases when the force increases. Well, that force of attraction is increasing at a mind-boggling exponential rate. Therefore, the acceleration of planet X is increasing at a mind-boggling exponential rate.
And I'm thinking at any moment you'll answer the question, what speed you think the planet is moving.
I cannot do that. I mean, I don't think there's anybody who can. Even the government has probably had the biggest Cray, the most powerful Cray supercomputers that can figure that out because they're tracking it. But there's no way that I could do something like that.
It doesn't matter. The nicest people and have sent them down to this telescope at the South Pole, and mum is the word, apparently.
Well, yes. In fact, Marshall Masters is a former science editor for CNN, Cable News Network, TV. And back in the 80s, he was a science editor. He has been trying to blow the whistle on Planet X. He has a website, youwusa.com, and he talked about the South Pole Telescope and how someone put up footage from that on YouTube, and it was taken down that very day.
So mention the website again.
youwusa.com.
Wow. John, we'll be back. This is the Morning Liberty program at RBN. We'll be back after this. We are back. John DiNardo joins me this morning. I'm RJ, and thanks for tuning in. Our phone number is 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. I very much enjoy the discussion this morning.
I enjoy the bumper music.
I went through religious training in college and through high school, I think 5 years to 6 years, from a Mormon paradigm, okay, with religious study, but certainly got into the Old Testament, New Testament, and then more books that, you know, Mormons define as scripture, okay? And there are texts out there that are, you know, have not been canonized that I think have value, okay? Like the Book of Enoch and others. And through all of those years of religious training, there's one concept that was taught to me that just is so powerful. I recall when this religious teacher shared this, he said, you know, we are so thickly involved in thin things. You know, we are in the thick of thin things. We pay attention too much, especially in America, I think, to things that really don't matter. And the things that do matter, we're not involved enough in. And I think John Moore right here at RBN does an outstanding job on the weekends discussing this Planet X and branches of the government that are already bugging out of D.C. John, you've joined John Moore on the weekends, haven't you?
Yes, I have, several times.
He's doing an outstanding job, and I think it's fun that John Moore says that in his effort to get his family into a safe place, that he's found himself a location that's 1,000 feet above sea level. And I'm thinking, I hope John Moore is going to hear this at some point. John Moore, where I live, the valley is 6,000 feet above sea level. So outdo me in that one, okay?
Wow.
But we need more voices. We need more voices speaking out about what's going on with Planet X so that we can understand what is happening with the Earth.
Well, what you say is profoundly true, that we ignore the most important issues in our life, most important principles and concepts, while being busy with trivial things. And also, you're right when you say that we need more people speaking out about this, because it brings us to a point where we can protect ourselves. The time is growing short because of the inward acceleration of this massive brown dwarf star toward our sun, and on its way it will pass Earth and cause destruction at a distance, action at a distance. Well, time is growing short.
Cable TV, okay? And because I have cable, I have access to about 8 news channels that I pay attention to on a regular basis. But we also see this movie 2012 playing out on cable. And I sit down with my children and I say, you're going to watch this thing. And I let them know, you know, Earth changes are coming and we may not know what they are. I'd like them to focus on things that do matter. But it's interesting, this movie 2012 really depicts some truth in there, okay? There's a whole lot of fantasy, you know, in theater, but there's a lot of truth in there. And a part of that truth is how government officials are lying to us about, you know, the very truth that they do know, including officials in NASA.
Well, exactly, and this is the greatest kept secret, because they know that if the people were to find out about the devastation that's going to occur, the people would lose their fear of the government and possibly not even pay their taxes and stop obeying their tyrannical laws, and that's what scares the power elite. That's why they want to keep this secret.
We'll be back, John, right after this.
The